From the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin, welcome to The Surgery Set. I'm Jonathan Kohler, an assistant professor in pediatric surgery here in Madison. I'm new here, and with this podcast, I'm exploring the ideas, inventions, and innovations of our department, plus meeting a lot of really interesting people. I'm so excited for you to join me. Our guest today is Dr. David Rothenberger. He's the J. Phillips Professor and Chairman of the Department of Surgery at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Rothenberger's career as a colorectal surgeon and cancer researcher spans more than three decades. He's mentored numerous medical students, residents, fellows, and junior faculty throughout his career, and is involved on a number of national surgical associations and cancer organizations. Dr. Rothenberger gave a grand rounds today, the topic of which is surgical burnout. Dr. Rothenberger, welcome to the Surgery Set.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure to have you here in Madison. It's cold and rainy out, but
similar,
I appreciate
to Minneapolis and St. Paul.
You gave a wonderful grand rounds this morning on the topic of surgical burnout, which I know is sort of coming to the fore in the surgical world now. It was a topic of a big discussion at the college this year, and you're clearly one of the leaders in the field of thinking about this. I wonder if you could just sort of talk first about the statistic that really struck me in your talk about how many physicians are burned out.
Yeah, well, it depends on the study, but it's clear that the numbers are high, in the range of 40% to over 50%. And this spans the spectrum of surgery, going from one specialty to another, spanning the age groups from young to old. It's not a geographic issue, it's widespread. So there's a fairly ubiquitous problem that we're facing.
One of the assumptions that I had was, oh, this is a millennial problem, right? This is kids these days just don't know how to work hard. You know, they get burned out because they're not getting their participation trophy. But it seems like maybe that isn't true.
No, it's not true. I thought, and many people have thought the same thing, that perhaps it is a millennial generation problem. But clearly, the more I've studied this issue, the more I realize it's not. The millennial generation has different expectations, and that creates some stresses and changes in our organizations, which can lead to burnout, but if properly handled, doesn't. And I also, I think, pointed out in the talk that the suicide ideation rate is also high in the older surgeon population, so it's not confined to millennials. It's not just a new generation that's, quote, not as tough as the old guys used to be or thought they were. I think it's much more than that.
So then why is it that it's happening now?
Well, I tried to talk a little bit about that in the discussion earlier today, and there are lots of reasons. Basic reason is that we've undergone major transformational changes in three different spheres: the profession, in our society at large, and also in the sort of economics of underlying medical care. So from a profession's point of view, it's clearly a stressful environment, but it's always been that. But there are new stressors that are being added to us. We're being expected now to not only concern ourselves with what's best for the individual patient, which was our traditional charge, to now also being accountable for the population at large. Population health is part of the triple aim. And how do we do that? How do we fit that into our environment that we're working on? We have to wrestle with that. I think the doctor and the patient are sort of at this pivot point of all the tensions coming to do great things, control costs, expand population health, and still take care of the individual patient. And the rubber meets the road sort of at that interface between doctor and patient. That's creating a lot of stress for everybody.
Yeah, I remember in, I think it was 99 or early 2000, I was a healthcare reporter for a newspaper in Massachusetts when the To Air as Human report came out from the IOM. And I mean, it just landed like a bomb.
Right.
This notion that medicine has been so sort of insular and has not fully appreciated the ramifications of what we do to people and the complications that arise from that.
Right.
And I thought one of the fascinating things about your talk was that it's sort of like the pendulum now has swung so hard in the direction of regulation and controlling complications that it's sort of, there's a lot of negativity associated with
our
profession.
Right. Yeah, I think that's part of the burnout phenomenon. We do feel, I think, that we are being regulated and watched in ways never previously seen, and that's true. Some of it's because we should be, and we're doing very dangerous things. We do high-risk procedures in sicker and sicker patients, and the vast majority of them do well, but some don't. And we have to be careful and be monitored and make sure that we're doing it appropriately. But there is this feeling of someone looking over your shoulder all the time, and we're humans. Errors will be made. We try to minimize those as much as we can, but we're held accountable for that. I don't think anybody's ducking the accountability, but it's created a new stress. At the same time, we're being asked to deliver more margin to our institutions so they can do the unfunded mandates. And the unfunded mandates include things that are done here at Madison, the education mandate for training the next generation of healthcare workers, also the unfunded mandate for research. Research grants almost never make you any money. If you're lucky, you break even or lose only a little bit as you do the research to try and find the next great discovery that will improve health. So margins are important, and we understand that, and cost control is important. But if it feels, I think, to a lot of docs that we're the ones being looked to control this, and it's not always on us. There are lots of other issues involved.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a simple doctor relationship that can solve that problem.
Right, and that physician-patient relationship, you know, gets sort of lost in this.
Yeah, it does.
Corporate machinery and
yeah, it can,
you know,
be lost
sort of
very
other
easily, right?
Focuses that you have to have now.
Yeah.
It does make sense to me that you would have regulation to sort of look at these complications, and that we've sort of, by not being vigilant about it, have invited this outside scrutiny for better and worse. But, I mean, you also made the point that, you know, physicians who have a bad complication within the last 12 months have a much higher propensity to have a suicidal ideation.
Right. You know, I think most physicians understand that pain that goes with a complication, and they understand the agony of lying in bed awake at night, trying to wrestle with, should I take this patient back to the operating room or should I not? What's the best? And you're thinking about the patient, and you're hoping that you're making the right judgment, and you're calling in your colleagues to help you make difficult judgments, to get a consult if needed. These are not simple issues, and they're not done lightly. But things don't always work out, and we have to be able to be resilient enough to bounce back and understand what we might have done differently, and trying to create safe environments where we can talk honestly about those complications and what we could do differently is an important part of a training program like we have here at the University of Wisconsin or like we have at the University of Minnesota.
Probably important to make the distinction, though, that, you know, burnout is not, it's not feeling bad about your complication,
no.
Right? It's much more
it's much
than
more
that.
Than that. It's really the loss of control over any part of your day, so that we're now becoming more and more controlled by large groups. We have very little to say with the flow of how patients are taken care of. I mentioned that Dr. Sinsky, who's an internist who works with the AMA on provider satisfaction, was recently at our institution and gave a talk on some of the findings she's discovered related to the electronic medical record. This has added several hours per day to physicians' activities. That's something that wasn't anticipated. It was thought that EMR was going to be a salvation. It was going to make things easier. It has in some ways, but it's certainly added to the burden. And one of the things they found is that if you can provide extenders of physicians to do many of these things, if you can eliminate all the clicking that goes to making a medical record in today's world, if you can streamline some of those things, you can improve patient and doctor satisfaction.
One of the things that I really appreciate about your talk, I feel like I've seen some talks on burnout before, and they say, you know, 50% of doctors are burned out, you know, the world is changing, and the message I come away from it with is like, the world is changing and it's going to be 60% next year, and, you know, there's a lot of hand waving, and never before have I had seen a talk with that sort of focuses on the solutions to that problem. And,
yeah, I tried
and you
to,
devoted like half of your time to that, which was great.
Yeah, that was the purpose of the talk, was to leave the audience with some hope. As I told them, I wanted them to think differently about our profession and about their careers as they go forward. I would do this again, despite all the difficulties of a surgical career. I loved it. I still love it. But there are things that we need to prepare doctors for. And that's what I tried to do. And a lot of this is sort of understanding who you are. I mean, I think one of the strategies I talked about was grounding yourself. Know your core values. and understand that there are things that you must do, and the data are fairly clear. If you can spend 20% of your total activities professionally on things that align well with your core value, your chance of burning out is very low. So that doesn't mean everything has to be, you know, perfect. But if you're a researcher and you're really into finding the next cure for some disease, you need to be focused on that for at least 20% of your time, and probably much more if you're going to succeed. Similarly for clinical care, you know, you got to focus and you got to have some time doing what you love. And that means sitting at the bedside if you're a clinician, holding the hand of a patient, looking them in the eye, talking to them about their disease and how you're going to stick with them or what your plan is to help them get through this difficult time. That's what gives people rewards. And having that ability to do that and spend some time on those core missions will minimize the risk of burnout.
That's great. You also talk about taking just like 10 minutes a day to just reflect.
Yeah, this is something
that was great and achievable. You
know, yeah, it is achievable.
10 minutes you might be able to find.
Yeah, and it becomes a habit. And I must say, I learned this from Bill George, former Medtronic CEO and a friend of ours, and his books on True North talk about this. And I've adopted it, and it really has helped me. I try to find a 10-minute window, 10 to 15 minutes, where I can really sit and make sure that all the things in my mind, are there any that are not aligning with my core values? And if so, how do I jettison those? How do I eliminate those from my list? And how do I stay focused on the things that really matter? And if you remind yourself on a daily basis, and it's just a discipline that you can acquire, and anybody can find 10 to 15 minutes a day to do this, it makes a huge difference just in terms of, okay, now I can go back into the next board meeting and survive this and come out feeling like, okay, I've contributed something that's aligned with what I want to do for this healthcare system.
Yeah, I'm going to try starting today.
Good. It's very helpful.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Rothenberger, thank you again so much for making the trip to Madison and for inspiring us all today. I definitely encourage everyone to watch the full version of your talk available online at the surgery website here at the university. And thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next time when we hear from Dr. David Mercer. He's a professor and chairman of the Department of Surgery at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. He's also a trauma and critical care surgery specialist with an interest in medical education. He'll be discussing surgical residency training and the need for redesign. We hope you'll join us. The Surgery Set is a production of the Department of Surgery at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This episode was produced by Rebecca Wazileski and myself. It was audio engineered by Chris Hansen and edited by Alex Worley. Our theme song is On Wisconsin, arranged and produced by Jamie Schmidt. I encourage you to visit us at surgery.wisc.edu, where you can find links to Grand Rounds, free CME credits, and more. You can also check out the UW School of Medicine and Public Health Video Library for a wide range of medical education resources at videos.med.wisc.edu. In addition, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And of course, you can follow us on social media. You can like our Facebook page and also find us on Twitter at Wisc Surgery, as well as me at J.E. Kohler. Please feel free to let us know how we're doing, and especially let us know if there are topics you'd like us to cover. Thanks, and we hope you check back soon.